good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ahoy, Kadidi. To all my friends and relatives out in Ho-Chunk land, all over the nation here. I just had to mute you, Wendy. We had a little echo. I just want to say, it's your turn this time. I just want to say, hey, we are Native Roots Radio, and we talk about Native issues all across Turtle Island, Native news and issues that really affect us and Mother Earth and our sacred animals, Wendy. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post. We're located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis, and we're on the first floor of the Dayton's building. Come on down. We support Native American artists.
Well, it's Wednesday, and we have Bob Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News, but we also have a special guest, Beth Castle, who's a director, producer, and a professor of, not of Warrior Women, but she did the documentary Warrior Women, and there's going to be a big presentation of it in North Dakota, so we wanted to touch base with her. We haven't talked to her in a long time, and I put my Warrior Women shirt on for this.
Oh, that's
occasion.
Great. Yeah. I have one too. I should have put it on, but I didn't get the memo.
I should have let you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we get any further into my jibber jabber here, let's get with the news with Gina Peltier with Honor the Earth, who's been stepping in and doing a good thing. And she's got her bro with her too, who's running for office up there in the deep north. And they're going to check in on what's happening up in the deep north. Welcome, Gina.
Hey, Buju, everyone. Gina Peltier and Dijnakash, Makadawe. I'm sorry, guys. I'm so my I had a glitch with my computer today, and it kind of messed me up, and I've been busy organizing. And right now I'm actually at a 420 rally in Bemidji, and it's been such a fun, exciting day. And I'm just going to try and do this without my notes and without my computer. So please bear with me. And I got some exciting news. I do have my brother here with me. And he is going to actually at the end of this talk about the MORE Act a little bit, which is trying to legalize marijuana, which is going to save a lot of people's lives, actually. But before he does that, I just want to go over the events I got coming up this week. You know, Earth Day is on Friday, and we do have in-person court hearings for water protectors. So we have a lot scheduled. And I really hope, you know, if you're not in the area to make our events, that maybe you can check out the events that are going on in your area or even get inspired to host events like this. We always have a lot of fun. And quite honestly, it's just great to be around people with like-minded minds and ideas. So what do we got going on? You know, besides the 420 rally event going on today, that is being held in Bemidji right now as we speak. And actually, they were handing out free sweaters or free shirts. And
hey, get me one.
I will. For those who are listening on the radio, it's a picture of the Minnesota State with the marijuana leaf, and it says end the prohibition. But that's what I love about these rallies. We all come together as a community. But tomorrow we do have in-person court hearings for water protectors starting at noon tomorrow in Bagley, Minnesota. We do have a rally starting for in-person court hearing. We are gathering because our grandma Jill, she was violently arrested by Clearwater County Sheriff deputies very violently. She's an elder woman, and now she has court for that arrest. There is video of this arrest on YouTube. So if you just, it's part of my language. It's if you Google bad blank grandma, it'll show up. It's quite traumatizing. I do want to warn you. I cried for days seeing it, but we do want to show her that support because she was taking a stand for our water. And she was violently arrested like that, and now she's suffering injuries still to this day, and she has to come back for court and face that as well. So we're just trying to show our support by showing up to court and having a good time to let her know that, you know, we're still fighting and we're still here. Also tomorrow, though, we have a Line 3 legal benefit event with live music in Bemidji, Minnesota, and that's at Real River starting at 6. So we will have live music. We will have a free will donation offering along with free fry bread tacos. So I'm really excited because I just love food. If you got food, for sure I'm going to be showing up. Sorry, guys. Friday, though, is Earth Day, and we do have a big day on Friday. We're going to start out, you know, at Camp Manuman. Camp Manuman is going to be there all day, and they're going to be holding events. And they're going to start off in the morning with celebration, and then they're going to have lunch, and then in the afternoon they have so much planned. So, you know, go ahead and check out our Facebook pages if you're interested in that. And it's also tomorrow, Winona's going to be, or I mean, on Friday, Winona's going to be on the show, and they're going to release a music video. I'm so super excited about that. You guys, you have no idea. Like, every time they release a music video and with new music, it's just so overwhelming. And I cry at those too. It's just, you know, my family members and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So Honor the Earth is going to be releasing a music video on Friday here on Native Roots Radio. So you guys, please tune in. It's going to be amazing. And Winona is going to be on here as well, and she's going to be speaking. Unfortunately, I will not be here on Friday because I do have to be in Fargo, North Dakota, for a screening of Warrior Women. And we have Beth Castle, one of the makers of the film, who is going to be on next segment. And of course, I'll let her tell you more about that. I'm really excited. I'm really honored. I am so inspired by Madonna Thunderhawk, who the film is by, original AIM leader. And I'm so grateful that I even get to be here. So thank you, Madonna. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, everyone. That's going to be a great opportunity. So that's in Fargo, North Dakota at 7 p.m. at the Fargo Theater. And then, of course, on Saturday, we have the Pine Point Parade for, again, Earth Day and all this great stuff going on, you guys. You know, reach out. See if you guys are able to come. We got a lot great good stuff going on. Oh, and I almost forgot one more thing. In Park Rapids, we're going to have an event too. So check that out on Honor the Earth's Facebook page. I'm going to pass it on here to Joey. He's going to quickly tell you about the Moors Act.
Hey, Joey, what's up, bro?
He's got my hat. I know I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to just jump right into that. Even Ben and Jerry's is fed up with the Senate inactions on marijuana legalization. This is from the Marijuana Moment. It's not traditional advocates and stakeholders who are fed up with the Senate inactions on marijuana legalization. Even the ice cream giant Ben and Jerry's is calling out senators for failing to advance reform. In the run-up to the unofficial cannabis holiday 420, which is today, the company is launching a campaign in partnership with the ACLU, asking fans to take action by putting pressure on the state or the Senate to follow the lead of the House by passing a bill to end the prohibition. Ben and Jerry's recognizes that it advocates for marijuana reform isn't surprising, and they previously leveraged 420 to raise attention to the issue. But this campaign takes a direct aim at the Senate, which has been significantly roadblocked on the pathway to legalization, both under the Republican and Democrat control. Ice cream fans, supporters of legalization, are being encouraged to submit a pre-written letter to their senator that describes currently patchwork of the state cannabis policies and racially disparity harms of the prohibition. It says that it's time for the Senate to act. A whole. Just to quickly end that up, the House has passed and approved the MORE Act, which is Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, earlier this month. Well, the Senate leadership has signaled that they would be introducing similar legislation later on in the month. The timeline has pushed back. The MORE Act would automatically expunge marijuana arrests, charges, and convictions at no cost to the individual based on federal offenses. Certainly, the MORE Act would help Native Americans evade the criminal system for the proposal of gaining education and employment. This helps Native country. It helps all of us. Support the Mars Act today and reach out to your local senator, Amy and Tina.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be right back with Beth Castle.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Even though things are getting better, COVID-19 is still around and a threat to our public health. To best protect yourself, make sure you continue to wear masks in high traffic areas, like concerts, sporting events, or crowded indoor buildings. Wearing masks can help prevent severe illness and reduce the strain on our hospitals and healthcare workers. Wear a mask with the best fit, protection, and comfort for you. This message is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find more COVID information by calling 651-304-9986.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I'm so stoked to have Beth Castle on. You know, the director, the editor, the do-all of Warrior Woman. I got my shirt on, Beth.
I know
we only have a few minutes here, but I want you just to speak your truth and let it go here. So let's talk about the event that you and Gina are involved in, and just talk a little bit about you and the project.
Sure. Thank you. Things are getting fancy and awesome here at Native Roots Radio. Like, on time, I got to be ready. I got to have my game going. Thanks for giving a chance to basically give a heads up of what's happening on Friday. You know, we're all coming out of COVID. And, you know, the Warrior Women Impact Plan, you know, an impact is like outreach, right? It's like common sense, get it back to the communities, but it's now something you really have to work hard to do. And the film Warrior Women comes out of this much bigger 20-year project of interviewing women in the Red Power movement. And we're really fortunate that we have this beautiful film co-directed by Christina King, you know, Creek and Muskogee, Seminole filmmaker that helped us with the film. But the entire endeavor is in service of telling this really needed history as soon as we can to help us with what we're doing now. So already everything just Gina shared, I'm thinking, how fast can we start processing so that we can get more of this information out there and this history that people need, because it immediately comes to mind how effective the Wounded Knee Legal Defense Offense Committee was with the 430 some people who were arrested after Wounded Knee in 73, and how this huge solidarity group of people came together. And that's one of our next oral history projects. So we're going to try, and now we've got to work even faster. But what you're going to see on Friday is in Fargo, we are really honored and pleased that the North Dakota Environmental Rights Film Festival, which is something pretty new and awesome, put on by the Human Family. Siri is always listening to me. I don't know if you heard that, but I can never win in technology. But on Friday,
So there's a film festival that goes, it starts tomorrow, it goes through Sunday. And there's some fantastic films. Ours has been voted by the jury as the best documentary. So we're very excited about that. And we're really happy to be in Indian country and are trying our best to get as many folks as we can, the local warrior women, you know, indigenous and kindigenous, get folks there to talk, especially about what the themes in the film connect to in terms of what's going on in the community. And especially in this case, you know, we've got land, extractive industry, environmental justice, indigenous women's bodies, spirit and mind, all of these things connected together. One of the things we're going to do, so the film is that we're going to be in person with Madonna Thunderhawk, Marcella Gilbert, myself, Raya LeBeau, who's part of our film team. We're going to be on the ground. And right after the film screens, we're going to, Gina and I are going to talk later. Now I know that I'm lucky if I'll catch her in her car, and I get it, but about sort of how we can coordinate the best conversation that we can, because there's always so much to talk about, and the film is important, but it's always based on the lives and intergenerational activism that's been going on. And what's going to happen right after is that we're going to ask someone this program knows pretty well, and as the world does, Representative Ruth Buffalo will be recognized. We're going to bring her onto stage and give her some recognition as a warrior woman doing local work. Gina's probably going to tell us some more people. We know we're always going to miss folks, but one thing that we're also excited about, she won't be able to be there in person, but one of our OGGs, original gangster grannies, who was interviewed for the Warrior Women Project in 2001 in at the World Conference, the United Nations World Conference Against Racism in South Africa, is Twyla Martin-Kikaba, and she's a Turtle Mountain woman who was tribal president back with Wilma Mankiller at the same time. Wow. When this was just not the thing you heard of. And she's also was an Amester. And wow. So she's got this powerful history. So we're going to recognize her as well. She won't be there, but we're going to have a live stream that everybody is invited to that would be available on the environmental, the long web, whatever the Facebook is for the festival and Warrior Women Film. And it will be live streamed on our page. The thing I wanted to add, if I could quickly, is that anybody who's watching this, I consider you friends and family. So if you want to do one, you could send an email to beth@warriorwomen.org, and I will put you on our mailing list and get you a voucher if you want to watch the film online. It's going to be available starting something tomorrow or Saturday, starting on Saturday for 1 week. And it would cost about $5. That way you can also support the festival. And that also you can vote for us for the audience award, because, you know, it's all about popularity. Madonna Thunderhawk's given those 50 years so that, you know, we can all adore her, but we would love that. So yeah, that's a little bit of what's happening. So you can, one of two emails, it's info@warriorwomen.org or beth@warriorwomen.org. And we always want to encourage everybody to get on our mailing list, which you can go to warriorwomen.org and do that soon. And hopefully we'll be back to talk more about it. We will be launching the Warrior Women Archive, the first segment. So there's about 50 interviews from Red Power Movement activists, many women who have walked on, and then 20 years of different types of footage that's all based in community organizing and getting that out there. And part of active communities called, it's a new system where instead of archiving, it's really activist archiving. And so you're invited into a family group and you can be actively part of adding photographs, materials, and documents. So you're part of the process, and that's something we want to see happen in Indian country.
That's awesome. And, you know, we love Madonna Thunderhawk and her daughter, but that documentary Warrior Women's about the whole movement too. And that's important to bring up because it's really emphasizes what she went through, and which is amazing. We can tell our people from Wisconsin and Madison and Milwaukee and Chicago, I guess that's Illinois, that are new to our show in the last year, that you know, the movement was awesome, and it was run by the women, and the women in the background, and Madonna happened to be at everything, and even Line 3, Beth. I mean, she went from Alcatraz. Right. She's been at everything, Standing Rock, all those great things, and yeah. It's just amazing. And you have
well, too. We used to call her the Forrest. Like somebody called her the Forrest Gump of Red Power, which I was like, you know, and it was funny and equally, you know, in some ways it sort of figures because honestly, like the combo of, you know, what our long descriptions of capitalist patriarchy is just folks didn't see women as, you know. They weren't the decision makers. They weren't, you know, in this hierarchy of behavior, the important ones, but there wasn't, you know, and I'm just like, this is part of what like the oral history does, the film does, is seeing the stories that tell us how these things actually happen. And just the power of like the grandma whispering, you know, like, oh, you go and do, you know, like, here's how you do these things and get past this idea that leadership is a man with a microphone.
Right. You know, wow. Great point. You know, one thing I learned from Madonna that I carry with me in my new job is I asked her, how'd she get all these things done? And she said, less people making decisions. And it was just like that rings with me every day that I work for my nation. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the part I'm hoping we can do more of. And that's where Gina and I are going to put our brains together because – it's great that people are just introduced to Madonna, but like you said, she and Marcy are willing to put their story out there with the whole intent that people can see an echo of their story in, you know, like that their story is the vehicle for everyone's. And that's why we want this, like, we want to give people a chance to be like, wow, cause she is awesome. She's just like naturally gangster in all the good ways, but you know, and she's got so much wisdom to drop. But if you ask her, tell us what your wisdom is and what do you tell the future generations, that just guarantees her to go, ash. And so you gotta trick the grannies. And I say that with all consensual trickery is the key to all good interviewing.
Well, when I was at Wounded Knee the last time, and you know what I'm going to say, Beth, too, is that almost 80 years old at the time, it was 3 years ago, she's on a horse. I'm like, what? What's going on here? Not that she flew away, you know, she was on it though. And I was just going, wow, there she is. I got to take a picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, and that's the part of it too, is as people discover, you want to make the films with the people who don't want to be in a film, period. You know, and that because they want to see it be the thing that we are now really hoping to do, even though the film's been out a few years, we're just starting. Like we're trying to flip this script because this is a story that never ends, you know, it's a cycle. But we want to get level up each time a little bit. So I think it's fantastic that we're going to have, you know, bring in the Line 3 elements into it and what the struggle is and the fact that folks really don't know, of course, what's happening because it's not, there's no space for it in our mainstream story. Right. You know, we'll get to it. But hopefully, yeah, I really appreciate you giving us the time to do this. And we still have to organize whatever our Warrior Women screening is going to be.
Right. It'll be probably at our store in downtown Minneapolis, Native Roots Trading Post. That would be a great place to do that. I just have to get enough chairs there and we can do it on a Saturday. Right, Wen?
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you, Beth. And good luck.
Thank you.
I'll be checking in. Gina, too. Good luck. This is really great to see two women working together and doing the Warrior Woman Project. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you can catch my show weekdays at 2 p.m. for the latest in political news on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
20% of the general population have hearing loss and can't understand speech in noisy places. The universal blue and white hearing loss sign, imprinted with a capital letter T, means that a hearing loop is installed. Switch your hearing aids or cochlear implants into the T or telecoil mode for clearer speech. Contact your audiologist or instrument dispenser to learn more about this technology. Paid for by the Minnesota Commission of the Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hi, I'm Rachel Shamblot. My dad is Dr. Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry. A lot of people are afraid of the dentist, but you don't have to be. My dad makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun. He won't be mad if you haven't seen a dentist in a long time. He just wants to take care of you and your teeth. If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Rain gives way to clear skies overnight with a low of 37, then sunny skies on Thursday with a high of 56.
Don't waste hours figuring out how to pick up and assemble your own grill. Leave it to the specialists at Warner Stellion. Choose from the hottest new grills. Then don't pay a penny more for professional assembly, delivery, or haul away. Shop now at WarnerStellion.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's wonderful Wednesday, and we have the Solar Bear with the Solar News here. And we talk more about solar. We talk about all the renewables that are going to be taking over here soon. And, you know, Bob Blake from Solar Bear is almost like a prophet when he comes on. So I see these things happening. We talked about, and almost like a prophet, though. Not quite, but almost. Like, yeah. Well, welcome, Bob, and thank you so much for coming on. And let's talk solar.
The solar news with the Solar Bear, Robert.
Hey,
you know, Robert, so check this out. This is a really interesting story here. There is a car company that's called Lightyear One that is prototype or testing, right? Got some prototypes out there. Going to have 10 cars out there that can literally go months without a charge. And so they're going to be testing these vehicles. And you know, this has been created in the Netherlands, but I think this is really interesting because, I mean, can you imagine if we were able to buy vehicles that could just be powered by the sun? I mean, how ridiculous would that be? And like, what would that due to like the economy, to jobs. I mean, it would just be a total disruptor to the fossil fuel industry.
It would. And everybody would have to have sunroofs in their garages.
Oh.
So the sun could power their car.
Well, I'm hoping that the wheels going around would generate power and energy too. Mm. You know, somebody's got to be smart enough to do that. I know Bob's old car that we went to the Iowa presidential forum years ago, that was charging as you drove, right?
Yep, it was charging as we drove. And what I think is interesting about this, Robert, is, you know, like, can you imagine, like, I mean, people, you know, now being able to purchase these types of vehicles and considering the price of gas right now and how much of that capital can be allocated towards homes and other types of needs that families would need, you know, especially with the high prices of food and, you know, the inflation that we're kind of seeing right now. I mean, it would almost make sense to like purchase one of these types of vehicles. It would just be economical. You could make the argument to purchase one of these vehicles, right? I mean, because of everything the way the prices are.
Right, and the more that's sold, the lower the price of the car goes. You know, we just know that from the old days of the Model T, when Ford revolutionized making cars to make them cheap for mom and pa and everyone to buy. So that's the next phase after these cars come out, is to make them really affordable for the masses.
And what's that called, Robert? It's called Moore's Law or something. It's the scale of cost, like, just goes down dramatically after everybody's, you know what I mean? So, interesting story.
Well, I had a calculator in high school that was $50. Remember, and the calculator, and then, you know, fast forward 10 years later, I have a calculator free on a pen. So that's, you know, the get more of it out there, the cheaper it is, right?
That is a great analogy. Wow, I got to steal that. I got to use that.
In all your speeches that you do across the country, and then say, I was on Native Roots Radio, that's AM 950, and you can hear it in Madison, Chicago, and Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities.
California. Okay, so here's the next story. So I think this leads into, we just got done talking about electric car, but California plan aims to triple sale of electric cars by 2026. I mean, they're going all out there in the you know, sunny state out there in California, Robert, to triple electric vehicle sales by 2026.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. Wow. I mean, I think that that's incredible that, you know, that this state is taking that initiative. And I hope, like, cross our fingers, but I hope that other states too continue on with that kind of same, like, you know, policy measures that California has taken, because I mean, that's just good for the planet. That's just good clean air for, like, our communities. And when you consider, like, in areas where we have high traffic, you know, those are kind of sometimes where a lot of the poorest people live, and they have to suffer the most, you know, from this. And so, I mean, you know, it would be nice if, you know, we could, you know, maybe switch to electric vehicles a lot faster, just for like our fellow man in our healthcare costs. I mean, there's so many advantages to going electric vehicles, Robert.
I know. I can't wait. That's our next car.
Okay. Definitely. So listen, Robert, so getting on to that, right? There's always like a flip side to the story. So there's always like what someone else would do. Okay. And so like, we're talking about the advantages of all this, but there's a flip side to the story, okay? And 68% of U.S. executives admit their companies are guilty of greenwashing. So that means that they have been lying about, like, what their companies are doing.
Right.
What their company, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like Volkswagen, right? When Volkswagen got outed for their EPA stuff years ago?
Yes. So I think it's really important to all of us as consumers because you vote with your dollar, right? Like, that's what they say. Mm-hmm. Like, we really need to hold our, you know, just like we hold our legislators, our policymakers to, like, you know, every couple of years we vote them in or we vote them out, whatever. You know right. what I mean? Robert, you're a politician.
Easy. Don't blow my cover here.
You know what I'm saying here, Robert. Yeah. But like, the people speak, right? The people mm-hmm. speak. And I think the same thing, we have to start doing that more with our corporations too, because I thought this was a really interesting story. And we need to hold our you know, our corporations just as much as we hold our politicians to the mat.
Well, I think we do by buying things. And you know, I'm going to go on a tangent real quick here, just a 5-second one, because I don't want to cut into your time. But, you know, the name change of the Washington football team would not have happened unless it was pressure from the advertisers, which was pressure from after George Floyd was murdered. So, I mean, there is ways to get these companies to back up advertising and all these things with these corporations.
No. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that it's power to the people. And if we just started realizing how much power we have, you know, we could make these changes, I think, a lot quicker and a lot sooner. Because obviously we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, what, you know, happens when we create a social movement, mm-hmm. right? To address a social problem. You know what I mean? So every mm-hmm. social problem needs a social movement. And so, that's just like in anything, you know, and especially what we're facing with the climate crisis.
Absolutely. And I think to back up what you said too, we really have to put the pressure on the politicians too, because it's a high percentage of people all over Turtle Island that want this.
Yes, absolutely. And I got a really good story here, Robert. So to get off the greenwashing there, but the Biden administration announces last week $46 million in climate funding for indigenous communities. So this is funding geared towards mitigation and adaptation strategies. So are you familiar, Robert, with like the Colorado River and how it's kind of like yeah. going dry out there? And Absolutely. that river serves like 40 million people mm-hmm. and serves a number of Native American tribes out there. And it's one of the few like public services that Native tribes have a like say on, which is that river. Right. And water and where it goes. And so I think this is really cool because, you know, adaptation and mitigation strategies are going to have to start very soon. And I suggest to all tribal nations out there, start putting together a department that's going to be dealing with these adaptation and mitigation strategies, because you're going to get funding coming down the road here from the government, and tribes need to be ready to be able to accept that funding, but have a department that's going to be dealing specifically with those types of, you know, issues within your community.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll, like you always say, Robert, you know, we have sovereign nations. We have a lot of power and, you know, a lot of things that we can do as a sovereign nation that's more flexible. But we have to be ready, like you said.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we know that climate change is not only going to affect, like, you know, we were talking about the Colorado River here, but it's going to affect tribal country too. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're not immune to what's happening, you know, with our weather patterns or out here in the world. So I would highly encourage tribal nations to get a mitigation and adaptation strategy. Start working on it now. Start working on a renewable energy plan. Start yep. working on all these things to prepare and your community for and get a resiliency, get emergency hubs, you know, together for your community where they can go in the events of extreme weather events such as tornadoes, hurricanes, mm-hmm. flooding, you name it. These are things that are going to have to become at the forefront of every tribal nation's planning and economic development plan.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just to end this, last year, was it that in December we had a tornado for the first time ever? I mean, it's crazy the weather is changing, and we need to think forward, think ahead.
Well, the oceans are heating up so much, Robert, mm-hmm. that they're causing a serious change in our weather patterns.
Exactly. Well, Robert, thank you so much for stopping in. As always, really good to see you. I should have put my solar bear hat on, but it's always great to see you. Thank you so much.
And that's the solar news with the solar bear.
He wants to do Howling for Wolves. Why don't we do that real quick? We got time.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, all right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was Bob Blake from Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Life is a journey, and the Dougherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable 2-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
All together now. Ooh. Ooh. We can never lose that sponsor.
No.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been talking about animal and native, our elders and our relatives with hooves.
Hooves. Hooves.
I don't think.
Wolves and hooves make wolves. This is not Fun Fact Friday, but it is a fun segment today.
Oh, good. I got your picture ready to go.
Yeah,
too,
that's so awesome.
Awesome. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hey,
take
everybody.
It away.
Hi, my name is Hana Jihi Hani, which means cares for them. And as everyone knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. And Curtis is Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. Today I'm going to be talking about raccoons. Oh. Robert, yeah, there's a couple of fun facts here that will surprise you. The reason why I was talking about raccoons today is because on my Facebook page, there's a rescue organization for wildlife. It's called For Fox Sake Wildlife Rescue. Isn't that a cute name?
I don't know about cute, but I'd accidentally...
For Fox Sake...
Wildlife probably at the rescue. Station they bleeped you out.
Oh, no, but it's not. It's for Fox's sake. Because they posted, our raccoon patients amaze us every day with their intelligence. The raccoon's reputation for being a trickster or nuisance stems from the ability to use its wit to adapt to nearly any environment. It's why many people dislike them, and it's exactly why they love them. In cognitive tests, raccoons consistently score well above cats and dogs and on par with some of Earth's smartest animals like apes and crows. They have demonstrated abilities like tool use and imitation and have solved the most famous, and it's called Asipos test.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Asipos test. It's
a puzzle.
Plus, they got
little thumbs. They can, lock doors and stuff.
Yep, using rocks to displace water to retrieve a treat from the top. A raccoon's number of cortical neurons, the brain cells linked to intelligence, are similar to primates the same size. Such brilliant critters deserve to be respected as so much than being an annoyance. So please remember that every raccoon is sentient, intelligent being worth of compassion.
And they have mask too, like a little robber.
Yeah, and I have a couple of fun facts here that I'm going to read. Some of them I'll go into depth, and some of them I won't. But they're named for their unique hands, and indigenous Native Americans were the first ones to note their unusual paws and name them. Raccoon, which means animal that scratches with its hands.
Come on.
Yeah,
what tribe named it that?
From the Powhatan word.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, the Aztecs went in a similar direction when naming the raccoons. They named them another thing, who takes everything in its hands. That's how that they named it, but it's all about their hands. But they are really very cute little animals. We had one in our backyard that comes every now and then, and
he washes up and has a few little snacks.
Yeah, they do. They come in a few different varieties. There are 6 raccoon species native to North and South America. And their masks aren't just for show. Do you have any idea in your mind why they have these little masks on their eyes?
To stop the shine from the sun to get in their eyes?
Exactly.
Sunglasses?
Like how football players will put the black underneath their eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks to the black markings that fall across their eyes, raccoons have been typecast as a cunning thief or a trickster figure in stories for centuries, but their famous black masks do not make them look like an adorable outlaws, and this is exactly why. At night, when the raccoons are most active, less peripheral light makes it easier for them to perceive contrast in the objects of their focus. But that's exactly why. The dark color absorbs incoming light, reducing glare that would otherwise bounce into their eyes and obstruct their vision.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have such smart listeners here on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We have someone saying it's Powhatan, and it's a Virginia tribe.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I couldn't pronounce
Virginia.
It. Yeah.
Thank you.
But Robert, we talk about, and you were just talking about the little raccoons and how they wash stuff, right? But here's a fact that I didn't know. They see with their hands. While most animals use either sight, sound, or smell to hunt, raccoons rely on their sense of touch to locate goodies. Their front paws are incredibly dexterous and contain roughly 4 times more sensory receptors than their back paws. paws, about the same ratio as human hands to feet. This allows them to differentiate between objects without seeing them, which is crucial when feeding at night. Raccoons can heighten their sense of touch through something called dousing. Oh. To humans, this can look like the animals are washing their food, but what they're really doing is wetting their paws to stimulate the nerve endings, like light to a human's eyes. Water on a raccoon's hands gives it more sensory information to work with, allowing it to feel more than it would otherwise. So that's why they're doing it. They're wetting their hands to stimulate the sensory receptors so they could really feel what they're eating.
Yeah, and that's why we see them coming out of the drains, because on a drought, they'll be trying to get water on their hands. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that. I thought they're little criminals, you know, but I guess they're looking to eat.
I know, they are really cute. And they've done studies which show that city raccoons are more clever than their country cousins. So they took a whole bunch of city urban raccoons and they did these tricks for them. Like they would put all different kinds of treats and food inside different types of garbage cans and like tie them in all different types of ways. And the city raccoons were able to open up all the garbage cans and able to figure out all the different locks and different twisty ties and all the different things. But when they put the same garbage cans with the same types of locks and things in the country, the country raccoons had a really hard time opening them and they couldn't figure it out. And it's just because the urban raccoons year after year like teach their young all these, you know, specific things that they need to do and survive.
I think
living in the city.
I think the urban raccoons are more into rap and the country ones are more into country music. Is what I think too.
I know. I know, but raccoons are among the rare species that can actually benefited from the spread of humans. Populations in North America have skyrocketed in the past several decades, and this is despite the destruction of most of the animal's natural environment. Raccoons are adaptable enough to thrive in rural, urban and suburban environments. And they eat birds, insects, fruits, nuts, and seeds. While the other residential area, they'll scavenge for garbage and pet food. But yeah, they're cute little animals and they're really, really smart.
Hey, so, how long do they live, do you know?
Yeah, they only live 2 to 3 years in the wild, but in captivity, they could live up to 20 years.
I want one.
I know, aren't they adorable?
Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you to Gina for the news, Beth Castle for stopping in with Warrior Women Project, and Robert Blake with Solar Bear News. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.